Today is Saturday, February 3rd, 2018, and this...
There's this real divide between Fremont Street and the Strip. And there's a really big difference when you're going down them. The Strip is definitely much more about, like, looking your best and getting your Vegas on. Yeah. And Fremont Street is much more about, like, letting your freak flag fly.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 634.
Las Vegas!
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I am still not in Vegas mode. I think I might be getting close to getting in Vegas mode.
Yeah?
Yeah. There have been a couple things this week that I've seen where I'm like, I want to do that. One of them, which we will talk about shortly.
Yes.
So that's good. That is good. We're getting there. This
you're,
is the longest.
You're ready to make your triumphant return to the city?
I'm ready to think about making my triumphant return. I'm not ready. If you were to say we're going next week, oh, you know, I'd just be like, fine, let's go. But I'd probably pause briefly. But if you were to say, you know what, I think we should go in 1 month, then I'd be like, yeah, I'll be on board by then. We're not going in a month.
No.
So anyway, that is the status of my Vegasness. How about you? How about you? Because I've mentioned many times coming off this trip and being a little slow to recover from the beatdown.
I'm the same way.
Yeah,
I
got that feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, that's good in that we're both in the same mental space.
Like, I'll be ready to go back, but I'm not ready just yet.
Yeah. All right. Well, there'll be plenty of fun things for us to do when we return. Before we jump into the news, I want to thank Glenn Hausman for having me on his No Vacancy podcast again. Had a great time, as I have in the past when I've talked to Glenn about Vegas stuff. He's in the his podcast is mainly covering the hotel and hospitality industry, so he's able to get good and geeky about this some of the Vegas stuff. And it's always a joy to talk to him. So thanks again to Glenn for having me on. I will post a link in the show notes if you're interested in hearing two guys in their mid-40s geeking out about Las Vegas business stuff. All right, so we've got some fine folks to thank for their Patreon patronage. Supporters of this show every month. They include... We have several new patrons this month. I believe
All
of these folks just got on board recently.
Aww.
Adam Hansen, Jason Gilligan, Daniel Lindbergh, Diane Taylor, Rob Wirt, and Andrew Rand. Thank you all so much.
Yes.
We do appreciate it. And people who support the podcast on an ongoing monthly basis get some bonus content as our way of saying thank you. You can check out all the details at patreon.com/500, and we do appreciate all of your support. All right, so... We're going to cover a little bit of news, and we're going to do some Dear Tim and Michelle questions, and then we're going to go to bed. No, we're not going to. I don't know what we're going to do.
We're going to go out to a bar because they're open till 4.
I know. With the Super Bowl in town, they have changed the rules a bit, and for one weekend out of the decade, this isn't the land where nothing is allowed. They're actually allowing people to drink after 1. It's a miracle. I'm sure downtown they'll be doing fine, but it's something I've never experienced at home, other than in my own home, but I mean,
right.
In a bar here, I would be interested to do that kind of, if it didn't mean being around other people.
Now we're leaving the house, we're putting on pants.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump in and do a little follow-up from last week's show, when I was a little bit...
ragey?
A little bit of rage.
Okay, I'm going to go on another tangent before we dive into the news.
Really? All right.
I had some rage today.
You did.
There's a fucking Prince hologram. Oh, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, yeah, the rumor, it's still rumor, I guess. is that the Super Bowl halftime show with Justin Timberlake will feature a Prince hologram. Neither of us are down with this idea.
Like, my blood pressure starts rising every time I think about it. First of all, I am filled with palpable rage.
Justin Timberlake wants to pay tribute to Prince. The best thing you could do is not even mention his existence. Just don't do anything. Don't do one of his songs because you're not going to do it justice. Don't bring out a hologram because all it's going to do is piss people off. Yeah, I'm not going to watch. I don't even care about the Super Bowl. Fuck it. I don't have any money on it. I don't have any. I don't care about either of the teams. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I look forward to your rage tomorrow. I'm sure that we'll end up seeing clips online or something, regardless of whether we watch it.
Puppy Bowl. We're going to watch Puppy Bowl.
Yeah, that's like, an hour? Yeah. 2 hours? I get pretty bored with that after about 10 minutes, too.
Yeah, we'll find something to do.
Well, yeah, I'm not worried about it. All right.
We'll go frolic in the snow.
Oh, snow angels in the backyard with Maximus. That'd be great fun, wouldn't it?
We have to be careful where we do our snow angels.
Oh, yeah, that's right. gross. Okay, let's...
Okay, Vegas.
Let's jump into the unpleasant news. So last week we talked about Steve Wynn's sexual misconduct allegations, and that story is going to go on for a while. There are a lot of things going on. We mentioned last week that Massachusetts gaming regulators were investigating and Wynn's board of directors were investigating, and now the Nevada Gaming Control Board is doing an investigation as well. So I've been thinking about kind of where do we want to go with this as far as the podcast, and I think I'm not really interested in getting into the nitty-gritty detail of this. Much like I kind of hate to keep comparing it to the October 1st massacre because they're very different, but as I mentioned last week, they're both stories that unfortunately pulled us into a reality that we'd rather not talk about in terms of Vegas is our escape place. We use it to get away from all the bullshit on the news, and now the bullshit in the news has intersected with Las Vegas, and we're kind of forced to deal with that. So what's worked well for October 1st issues is for us to really focus on how do things related to that affect people's trips to Las Vegas. That's what this show is about. Mm-hmm. It's always been a couple of dorks who really like going to Las Vegas talking to a bunch of other dorks who really like going to Las Vegas about the things that, you know,
make us dork out about Las Vegas.
Yeah, the things that are make their trips better or worse or have an effect in one way or another. And that makes sense for this too, I think. So rather than talking about Steve was accused of this or maybe this is happening or all this ridiculous speculation, I think it's better to talk about, well, like with October 1st, we've talked about some of the security measures that have happened as a result of that. Things that affect what you're doing when you're there. There are plenty of other places you can go if you'd like to join a group of people with pitchforks and torches and things like that. And plenty of bluster and, as our friend Misnomer has said, amateur lawyering. You can find a lot of that on Twitter if you want. I'm not really inclined to get into that so much. So, like I said, we'll talk about stuff that might be related if it's likely to affect your trip. And, of course, if there's going to be if something big happens where it looks like he's going to be ousted or he's definitely staying, we'll talk about that stuff. But
how it affects the business, how it affects...
Yeah, we're not going to get into what the specifics of allegations and all that stuff any more than we did last week. So there is one note related to this that although they haven't officially said, it is as a result of the news that came out or the allegations that came out a little over a week ago. It certainly seems that way from the timing, and that is one of the people who was booked to perform a handful of shows there, Elvis Costello.
Your favorite and mine.
Has canceled his shows. So there's a chance that this might happen with other performers as well. So if you're planning on seeing a show at Wynn, you might want to double check the schedule before you go and make sure that's still happening. Mm-hmm. I would imagine if you have tickets for a show that's been canceled, you will get a notification. But, you know, with headliners... And a refund, yes. But, you know, you can't blame performers for wanting to distance themselves from bad PR. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that some of these people may end up canceling and backing out of their engagements. So that's happening with the Elvis Costello shows. He will focus on probably continued rehearsal to make sure that every song he sings, it sounds like he is in dire need of taking a massive dump. I know people love Elvis Costello, but...
We are not two of them.
No.
Speaking of Wynn, I mean, At least nobody named a kid after that guy. I mean, holy shit, how awkward would that be?
That would be awkward. Would the child's name be Wynn?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. There's like three or four people who are going to think that's hilarious. All right, enough about Wynn. Let's move on to something a little bit more happy. Mm-hmm. This is the thing I was talking about early in the show that had me going, ooh, I want to see that. The Neon Museum, also known as the Neon Boneyard, because it's fun to say Boneyard.
Boneyard.
Launched a new feature this week, a new show, kind of show thing. It's called Brilliant, a Neon Museum Experience, because experience has to be in every single thing now.
And I like how they have an exclamation point after Brilliant.
Brilliant! You know, if you've been to the Neon Museum at night, some of the signs, a handful of signs, have been restored. They are lit. They look awesome. You can get up close and personal with neon and other lighted signs. But a lot of them are dark. And they
I might have also been lit when I went to the Neon Museum.
I know. I remember being so tired after going there. And it wasn't even that late. Just had to, and it wasn't because the tour was exhausting or anything, but... yeah, I think that had been a day of heavy drinking. But we had a wonderful time at the Neon Museum and would highly recommend it. And now that this thing that we're talking about is there, I want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to the signs that have been restored and are lit up, they are doing something, I believe it's called like projection mapping or something. They're using projection lighting. And with that, they are illuminating and animating a bunch of the other signs. And I thought, oh, when I first heard that, I'm like, oh, well, they're just lighting... they're just projecting light onto the sign. It looks really cool.
It looks like the signs are lit up from within.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't look like projection. It looks
good.
It looks amazing. And so they've animated a bunch of these signs. They've got music that goes along with it. So some of the stuff is choreographed. I'm going to link in the show notes to a video because talking about it does not do it justice. I posted it earlier on the Facebook group and a lot of people were instantly like, yep, I'm going to see that. So it would be worth taking a look at the video, and you too will probably want to go see this. Tickets are $23. They're a little bit cheaper. They're $15 for military, seniors, students, and locals. And they're doing a show on the hour every hour. I believe it's every night. Tickets for the immediate shows in the next few days are pretty much selling out well in advance. So if you're planning on going to Las Vegas, you might want to look at this a couple weeks out and get your tickets booked. Neonmuseum.org is the website. And I look forward to anyone who happens to go see Brilliant. I'd love for you to call in a review of it on the voicemail line and tell us what you think about it. Especially if you've seen the Neon Museum at night before, you can maybe do a little bit of a comparison. But even if you haven't, let us know what you think of the new display. It looks great. I am very excited about this.
I am as well.
It took us for a long, long time to finally go and see the Neon Museum. And now with this, I don't think it will be a hesitation. I have a feeling this will be in one of the next couple trips that we'll have to make it over there. All right. So I keep saying so this week. We have some other news and this next segment gets...
Toastmasters would not like you.
No, they wouldn't.
This week...
rest assured that I was on the internet within minutes registering my disgust throughout the world.
In outrage.
This is bullshit!
All right. The outrage theme almost always means... One thing, and that is parking fees.
Well, it used to be resort fees, but now
it's fees.
Some sort of fee.
Fees. What am I going to do about all these fucking fees? MGM Resorts, the kings and queens of fees in Las Vegas, have announced they are raising their parking rates. In fact, it already went into effect. Thanks, MGM Resorts, you fuckers.
Let us nickel and dime you some more on your vacation.
They have a complex matrix of fees based on where you're going to park your car and in which manner, valet or self-parking.
You can really see the hierarchy of MGM properties.
You can, that's true.
Because Circus is still free.
For self-parking they are.
Oh, for self-parking.
Valet, I do believe they are charging.
Who valets at Circus?
There you go. Nobody now that they're charging. I'm not going to go through all the individual fees because that would be tedious and annoying. I will, however, direct you to mgmresorts.com. If you go all the way to the bottom of the page, there's a little guest services menu and you can find a parking link. It's funny when you click on the link and you look at the full URL. It's they've slotted it under their things to do section, which on the web page, if you click things to do, you won't find it, or you'll find it in the same place at the bottom.
But part of the address is
Things to do. I'm like, oh, you know, when I'm in Las Vegas, there's nothing I love to do more than pay for parking. It's just an odd.
I love me some fees. Let me just pay for some shit I'm not going to get any value out of.
Nothing's more fun than parking in Las Vegas and paying for it. I will put a link in the show notes to the parking page so you can get to it that way as well from 500bymidnight.com if you are so inclined. So there you go. If you're if you have to park in Las Vegas and you're going to do so at an MGM Resorts property, you're going to pay more. There's still some freebie options. I believe that the Mandalay Place, their little shopping thing, I believe they still have some free parking there, but for the most part, the MGM properties you're going to end up paying. Boo, hiss, hiss. All right. We have a few restaurant updates. Giada has a new restaurant opening at Caesar's Palace. We have discussed this in the past, and there is now an opening date, and it is coming up in just a couple days. It is opening on Monday. I think we will probably end up checking this out sometime.
Mm-hmm. What is it called again?
Pronto! By Giada. yeah, so that's happening. Border Grill, which is a very popular kind of a Tex-Mex place in Mandalay Bay. They are planning
that we've been meaning to try out for years and still haven't.
It's been there for a long, long, long time. We've never
and
made it over
there.
And they
also have an outpost at Caesar's Palace.
That's right,
Forum
they
Shops.
Do. I forgot about that. Thank you for mentioning that. Well, the Mandalay Bay location, the operators are planning on opening a separate but neighboring takeout counter. It's going to be like right across the walkway from where they currently are, and they're going to have, it's going to be Mexican cuisine, but focusing on barbecue, according to the Review Journal.
Yes, please.
They don't have an exact date. They haven't started construction yet, but they're thinking it'll probably be open sometime this spring. So that's great for people who like Border Grill. There's a good chance you will like this as well, since it's from the same folks. So good news for people who are looking for some good food down at Mandalay Bay. Aria has, this is weird. When you actually pointed this story out to me, and I was like, that's vaguely familiar. I feel like we've talked about that. And the news is that Bar Masa and Tetsu are closing. And sure enough, we have talked about this in the past. They announced they were closing in like 2016, and then it didn't happen. They've announced again that those places are closing, and they're making way for, maybe this time because they have more specific plans. I don't know. They're making way for a restaurant called Catch, according to Vegas 7. And Catch has locations in L.A. and New York City already, and they are seafood restaurants with a Japanese slant. So Japanese food, seafood, yeah, sounds like probably be pretty good. They're very popular in L.A. and New York, and I'm sure they will do quite well in Las Vegas as well. So that is happening. I think they're shooting for a fall opening for the new place, so it'll be a little while. All right, finally, we have a show, an entertainment/show-related item, Tapeface, who we have spoken about in the past. He had a successful run at Flamingo in 2017 and is moving for 3 years. He's been signed on for a three-year stint at Harrah's beginning on March 16th. Do you remember our discussion of Tapeface?
I do, and I remember being baffled, and I'm still a little baffled.
I know, very popular. I don't know.
Good for him.
Yeah. One of our favorite musicians is a fan. Frank Turner posted a picture of himself with Tapeface once.
Nice.
Yeah. So Tapeface, I believe, did an America's Got Talent kind of thing, and he performs a comedy act with tape over his mouth, thus the name Tapeface. So if you're into mimes and prop comedy with no speaking, I think this is the show for you. Seems very specific. Apparently it's hilarious. I watched some video, and I don't think it would be for me necessarily, but very popular, so you can check it out. They have renamed whatever, I don't know exactly what space he's going into at Harrah's, but they're renaming it for his show, The House of Tape. And the venue is described, it holds a couple hundred people, it's described by Harrah's in the press release as an immersive experience, which isn't used nearly enough.
No.
And uniquely curated.
Oh.
I love my venues uniquely curated.
Don't we all?
For
those of you playing PR bingo.
Yeah, really. So you can look forward to an immersive experience that's uniquely curated for you, whatever the fuck that means. So just describe the show. It's a guy with tape over his face that's going to make you laugh. It's going to be really funny. Do we need to get into all this precious nonsense? I think.
What kind of tape does he use? Is it uniquely curated? Is it artisanal tape?
Is it
locally sourced tape?
Seriously, I haven't read PR Week in a long time. It's an industry publication. Do they put out a list of words that you need to put in your press release to sound like you're current?
Please. No.
It's all this fucking buzzword nonsense. Anyway, tape face tickets start at $63 plus taxes and fees through Ticketmaster. March 16th is the opening date. If anybody sees this, please let us know. Or if you did see it at Flamingo and you want to review it. I don't think we've had any reviews of tape face, so we'd love to hear them. All right, so that's it for news this week. We are, instead of calls this week, I've been mentioning for the last several weeks that we are going to get caught up on emails. So,
got a box full of letters. Think you might like to read. Send your note and desires. Means of contact, P.O. Box 8941. Baby. Write you a letter tomorrow. Tonight.
You mixed this Jameson and ginger fairly strong, didn't you?
Oh,
I'm not complaining. I'm just stating fact. All right. Dear Tim and Michelle is the name of this segment. We do it periodically where we respond to emails from you, our beloved listeners.
I have not heard or read any of these. So
I've only scanned them, so I've put, as always, I've put no preparation time into the responses to these questions. So we'll see how we do. Dear Tim and Michelle, this is from David. David writes, thanks for the great podcast. When a new themed penny slot debuts, what is the typical hold percentage? Does it vary by machine, casino, or both? Yes. It varies. It varies by machine, casino, and both. I think "and both" is all I need to say. The machines are usually built with a series of different payback percentages, as I understand, and the casino that is choosing to put them in can choose how they want them set.
Here's an observation, and it has no scientific basis other than my own personal experience.
This is going to be some good flim-flammery.
It is going to be some based good flim-flammery. It's based on absolutely nothing but my own drunken experiences.
Oh, this should be good.
It feels like...
play the third machine in the bank?
No, it feels like when they first put machines in, I seem to do better on them, and then when I return, I don't do as well.
Well, that's because when you return, the casino pushes that button that changes the odds on all the machines at once.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't exist, but people are convinced exists.
Yeah.
But only when they're playing, because the casino cares specifically about them.
Although this last trip, nothing I played.
It was related to your slot card. When you put your slot card in, then it lowers all the percentages.
Yeah, yeah. It was specific to me. No, it just seems like, I don't know. That's, like I said, no science behind it. Just, yeah.
David is also wondering if the casinos have any obligation to provide this information. No, they do not. They have to do some reporting to the gaming control officials, and some of that gets published. But as far as telling you what each machine pays, nope, they don't have to tell you shit.
But it has to be within certain percentages.
It depends on the state. Right? I'm not sure exactly what the regulations on that are. I would visit wizardofodds.com. He has unbelievable amounts of information that gets into the hows and whats and whens and wheres and whys of slot machines and every other game in the casino. And you can geek out and he'll answer all of your questions. It's wonderful.
Well, okay. Remember when you played Wonka the first few times and it was super generous and now you can't hit shit on it?
I know. Well, I haven't played in a while, but yeah, I know. No, I'm not. But it's just
coincidence.
I'm glad that you're qualifying it and saying it's based on a handful of, observations and a handful of times playing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've had experiences like that too, but it's...
Slots are so random that, yeah.
Yeah. There is a chance with some, slot machines where the casino could change the payout at some point. They could have the setting changed if they would like. So it's possible. All right. Thanks, David, for your question. Appreciate that. This question I've been sitting on since November. That's how long this has been. This is from Will. I know you're going to have a lot to say on this question.
Am I?
Uh-huh. What are your thoughts on the Bellagio Shanghai and how it will impact MGM's treatment of the Bellagio Las Vegas? You have any thoughts on this?
There's a Bellagio Shanghai?
I know. So here's the thing. From my perspective, at least, and I think you probably feel very similar, for as much as I love Las Vegas casinos, I have the equal amount of not giving a shit about casinos other places. I used to have a little bit more, and now it's less and less and less.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same experience for me. It's not fun. I don't care what's happening on the other side of the world when it comes to casinos. I don't care what's happening, you know, two states away when it comes to other casinos. So I have no thoughts. Until I got this, I'm like, oh, Bellagio, Shanghai. Yeah, there's something I'll never see and never care about. So I don't know. I have no idea. Haven't thought about it. Never will. Maybe it'll have some sort of effect in terms of, like, they could certainly test things out and then apply them
to Vegas.
But I don't know. Don't care. All I care about is what they do in Vegas. So, sorry. I have no thoughts on it. Yeah. So, yeah. I got nothing. All right. One of our favorite emailers, Danny, mm-hmm. always sends us a lot of good questions. So I always get very happy when I get emails from Danny because he always has good stuff. And he has not let us down based on the number of questions he has provided us here. In fact, the next two emailers have provided a series of questions. So
quick fire questions?
Oh, there is a rapid fire round at the end of this one.
Okay.
But we've got five other questions leading up to this.
Other more thoughtful.
I don't know. Maybe they're more thoughtful. Okay. So Danny is wondering, we've mentioned several times that we would like a residency by Pink in Las Vegas.
Yes.
I stand by that statement.
Same.
And he agrees. Pink in Vegas needs to happen. However, Danny does not want her to do the residency at Planet Hollywood or Park MGM. He wants a new, different venue that will draw him and others there. He's thinking Palms. What are our thoughts?
Yeah.
I really don't personally care where it is, mm-hmm. as long as it's a venue that can allow her to do her acrobatic shit mm-hmm. and that it has really good sound.
Yes.
So I don't know, based on everything I've heard and read and seen about Park Theater,
it seems more versatile and more,
yeah,
like they could accommodate that a little better than some of the other theaters.
I know Planet Hollywood has been thrown around in terms of a possibility for her, so I don't know. I don't know what would be best. I don't know what the best place would be given, like, size and setting up all the aerial stuff. I'm sure they can make it work anywhere with enough money.
What if they took out one of the Cirque shows and put her there instead?
I would be absolutely fine. I've stated several times we need less. Is it less or fewer? I
should know that.
Fewer Cirque shows. So, yes, I would be all in favor of that. I don't really have a preferred theater, though.
Yeah, I don't either. And when I said thoughtful about the questions, I think I meant to say... He is thoughtful. I meant to say that they want us to be more thoughtful in our answers.
Sure, that's the case.
Yeah.
Number two, Vegas has many annual events, conventions, and festivals. National Finals Rodeo, CES, Electric Daisy Carnival, for example. Pick one you've never attended that you would consider attending. I've got one, but I'm going to let you go first.
Here's the problem.
People.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there was a while when I was like, oh, yeah, New Year's Eve in Vegas would be really fun.
Nope.
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 I don't know. I'm sure you're thinking of one that I haven't thought of, and I'd probably be like, yeah.
Very possibly. Okay, so mine is, we've actually been there during the event, but I've not gone to the event, and that would be Punk Rock Bowling.
Yes.
They have a great music festival as part of that. They have some club shows. They've got a larger stage with multiple bands. It's downtown. Good and freaky, like our opening clip said about Fremont Street.
Mm-hmm.
Fun people watching. We have some friends who go every year, so.
I would do that, yeah.
Yeah, that would be mine.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That is in May of every year over the holiday weekend. But yeah, we haven't gone to that. So,
no, like you said, we've been in town. We just haven't taken advantage of the events.
Oh, this is a good one. Not that the other questions haven't been good, but this is an especially good one. This is going to be a tough one to think about.
Hmm.
Which casino best embodies your spirit, kind of like your casino spirit animal?
Ooh.
And then he has a follow-up for after we've both answered. This could go a couple different ways. Part of me wants to say Downtown Grand.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
Because it doesn't have any people in it?
Sleepy and quiet, and there's nobody there. I don't know. Maybe I will go with that. Even though I don't really enjoy myself that much there. I mean, it's fine.
I like staying there. Yeah. I love the rooms. The rooms are very nice. I don't like hanging out.
Okay, but no, if I thought if I thought this is my spirit, this casino is my spirit animal.
Well, there are certain casinos. Let's
maybe the Cromwell.
I was just going to pick that.
That works. We can both have the same one.
Because it has the spirit. I mean, it's
the spirit of Barbary Coast.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can still smell drunk Elvis or drunk Elvis. Big Elvis's sweat.
No. I would say the Cromwell because it's tiny and compact. I'm not tiny and compact, but I like tiny and compact things.
It feels cozy and comfortable.
Yeah, it feels homey.
I'm going to go with that one too.
Yeah, and it's gone through various stages, much as I've gone through various stages in my love of Vegas.
Which casino best matches Max's character? What would be his spirit casino?
God, which one's the most spastic and energetic casino?
Crazy and somewhat unpredictable?
Yeah.
I don't know. Casino Royale?
Yeah. Yes, crazy and somewhat unpredictable.
A little loud, a little obnoxious, but still kind of fun?
Yes.
I'd go with that. Okay, that describes Max. All right. Danny has always thought there should be a full-on grocery store on the Strip. I don't know why, but he does. That's him saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you think is missing on the Strip or downtown that would be surprisingly popular?
Oh, God.
Somebody needs to open a pizza joint. Oh, wait, that's been done. No, that's not it.
A burger place?
A burger place would be, yeah. I feel like there was something that I said recently that would be extremely popular that now I can't remember. Other than the obvious Monkey Poker Dome would be huge. I've added to Monkey Poker Dome, by the way.
You have?
Yeah, they're going to have, in response to a question that popped up on Twitter the other day, there's going to be monkey robot butlers there as well.
Okay.
In addition to the card playing monkeys that throw poop at the dome.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have better trained monkeys that don't throw their poop at you that are on the outside that can serve you drinks and food, and they're going to be monkey robots.
You or the monkeys playing poker?
They're going to serve the people who are watching.
Ah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Although, yeah, they could have them serving the monkeys too, but it'd be more fun if you had actual interaction with them outside. Anyway, so I don't know.
Yeah, that is a tough one.
The grocery store thing is interesting. I don't know. That doesn't appeal to me. I could see maybe like downtown.
I can get everything I need at CVS or Walgreens.
Yeah. Like
they've got some grocery type staples there. So
I'm trying to think.
And don't forget the place in the bottom of the Jockey Club. All the hot dogs you need.
Oh, that weird little convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a lot of hot dogs there. Yeah, I don't have an answer to this one. I feel like whenever I'm there, everything I would want to do or need is nearby, not too hard to figure out, find. I'm sure I'll think of something, but I've got nothing now off the top of my head. Oh, I got a good answer for the next one, though.
Yeah.
Danny once bought an airplane neck pillow in Vegas, then immediately busted it open. What has been your dumbest or most failed purchase in Las Vegas? Do you know what mine's going to be? Or do you have an answer?
Mine is the Eiffel Tower souvenir glass promptly slammed into a garbage can while we were drunkenly walking around and broke it.
That was mine too. Because I think I actually bought that, didn't I?
Yeah, but I broke it.
You're the one who broke it?
You bought it, I broke it.
That was why it was my most failed purchase.
Mm.
I think we ended up getting one though, didn't we? Later on?
No, we have a glass one, but we don't have a big plastic one.
You're right.
It would have been really unwieldy to take home anyway.
Yeah, sure. Keep making yourself feel better about breaking it.
I've brought a lot of stuff home that's breakable. The little Paris balloon.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that particular item didn't make it home.
Yeah.
I probably paid like $15-16. That was back in the days when we had no money.
Mm-hmm. And? The drink was worth it.
It's just a shame. I know, but did we even get through the whole drink before you broke it?
Probably not.
Yeah. All right. Rapid fire round from Danny.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Probably not, but I'll do my best.
We should play Jock Jams. That's my Jock Jams. Okay.
What the hell was that? Was that even a song?
Yeah, it's that song that starts out, are you ready for this?
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, that's a different version of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Okay, rapid fire. Celine Dion or Brooks and Dunn?
Celine.
Guy Fieri or Bobby Flay?
Bobby Flay.
Drink Cosmos at the Cosmo or Manhattan's in New York?
Cosmo's at Cosmo.
Same. If you absolutely had to do one of these, chill out in the room without gambling the first night in Vegas or the last night in Vegas?
Ooh.
First night. We've done well.
Yeah. First night, because we usually go to bed pretty early the first night we're there.
We've had trips where we don't gamble the first day if we get there late or something. Yeah. That's happened. Yeah. So, yep.
And the last night, you're like, all right, got to make one more run for it.
Yep. Thanks, Danny. Always magnificent hearing from you. You always have great questions, yes. And I do appreciate it.
And I feel like my answers were, I'm going to think of stuff tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll think of something like, oh, of course they should have one of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Kelly, our friend Kelly from Canada, she sends us great mail.
Oh, awesome.
And now she's sending us great email as well. So she has a few questions for us. Number one, do you care or have you ever cared about hotel room tours on YouTube? What makes one great?
You've filmed them.
I have done a few. Not lately, but yeah, I have done a few of those.
I have a hard time watching them because the camera usually isn't steady and I get a headache with that. So I have a hard time.
You don't like motiony things.
I don't like motiony things.
Shaky. Motion.
Yeah.
I do like room tours on YouTube, especially for the when I've found them useful is if I'm considering booking a room, especially if it's going to be a more expensive room, a suite of some sort,
mm-hmm.
and want to see what exactly I'm getting.
It was super helpful when we booked our room for our anniversary trip last year.
The bungalow at Cosmo. But I've used it for others as well, or if I've been considering. So that room, yes, especially when I was considering that, where I'm planning on dropping a chunk of change much higher than my normal budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I was comparing different options and YouTube room tours. That was the way I did it. I was looking at, I think my qualifications there were you would always want to stay in a multi-level suite. So that mm-hmm. was where I was starting at. And I looked at several different things online. As far as what makes one great, sometimes you'll get, well, first of all, they have to be labeled correctly. There are tons of videos, room tour videos, where the actual name of the room doesn't match what the hotel calls it.
Yeah.
That's annoying because you think you're looking at what the room is that you're interested in, and then mm-hmm. you realize, oh, this is just like two connected standard rooms, and they're calling it a mini suite, which mm-hmm. it isn't called by the hotel, you know, so... That's number one. Just have the labeling correct. And then have it be thorough enough where you really get a sense of the room. Sometimes they're like 35 seconds and you're like, oh, okay, I kind of saw it, but I'd like to see every part of the room. If it's multi-room, well, there always is a bathroom and a bedroom. Mm-hmm. So at least that, I'd like to get a pretty good idea of what it looks like. So spend a little time and show some of the detail. That would be my main thing. A lot of times I'll watch them on mute. I'm not necessarily listening to... If there's somebody narrating them,
yeah.
I don't care about that so much, but I like to see the different aspects of it and what it looks like. All right. So this is kind of a speed round thing here.
All right.
Not without trepidation, some silly Vegas themed would you rather? Oh, some would you rathers. Okay, that's what this is. Vegas themed would you rathers. Okay, here we go. Would you rather drink 6 $1 margaritas or drink 6 $1 overpass waters?
$1 margaritas.
I feel like we've probably done both of these.
Yeah, yeah. Because those $1 margaritas do not have a lot of alcohol in them, so it wouldn't be...
You're getting a lot of sugar. That's the downside.
Oh, that's true.
I'd still probably do that, though. Yeah. I don't have a problem with the overpass water.
I don't
water.
Either.
I know that some people are paranoid that they're...
They're filling them from their faucet or something. No.
It's possible, but unlikely.
Yeah.
The amount of work you'd have to put into doing that.
Right.
I don't think.
Right. As long as you're cracking a seal.
I know.
You're good.
Okay. Would you rather be stuck behind a moseying family on the strip or be forced to talk to every clipboard jockey on the strip? Ooh. I'm going to go with moseying family.
Same. Because I can curse them in my head.
As opposed to the clipboard jockeys, you can curse them to their face. But
yeah, true. But yeah, I have, like moseying irritates me.
Uh-huh.
The clipboard people fucking bother me.
Yeah, those people selling timeshares and yeah. Grand Canyon tours and all that stuff. All right.
My whole goal is to not have a conversation with them.
Would you rather have breakfast with Sheldon Adelson or attend a timeshare presentation? These are great questions. Oh, I love this. Thanks, man. Kelly. Kelly and her husband came up with these on a road trip.
Can I yell at Sheldon Adelson?
Yeah, you're probably going to have to if you want him to hear you.
Yeah.
Because he's
old. I'd probably do the breakfast because then I could at least get some aggression out.
Mm. I'd have some legitimate questions for Sheldon about Venetian upkeep and things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay, would you rather be trapped on the monorail or be trapped on the high roller in a non-bar car for 2 hours? Oh. Probably the monorail.
Probably
because
monorail.
There's not going to be anybody else around, and I can just relax.
Yeah.
I'd be more claustrophobic on the high roller, mm-hmm. and it's up high, which is always...
And the monorail, maybe there's a corner you could sneak off to pee.
Yeah, there's not going to be anybody else in your car, so you can probably drop a whiz if you need to.
Right.
That's a good point. You can't really do that on the... Although I think they do have some sort of, in the
emergency
event of that,
contraption.
I think there's some sort of emergency contraption on the high roller cars. But there's going to be other people really close by,
yeah.
So I don't know how exactly that works. Is it a little tent? I don't know.
Monorail, for sure.
Would you rather dance on the bar at Coyote Ugly or participate in a magic trick on stage?
Dance on the bar.
Both these would be extremely uncomfortable. I would probably go with participate in a magic trick on stage. Both of those would be horrible. Mm-hmm. You
love some audience participation,
yeah,
don't you?
You've hit on my anxiety. I'm getting nervous just reading that question. Just mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm so uncomfortable just thinking about either of those. Okay. Horrible. Would you rather fly for free to Vegas or drink for free once you're there? Well, you can drink for free once you're there, kind of, if you're gambling. So, I don't know. I guess I'd say...
By drink for free, do you mean have every drink of your trip paid for?
I think so.
You've seen our bar tabs.
You're going to repeat what I was saying while I was pulling together our receipts for taxes earlier today?
I think I'd drink for free. I think we spend more on drinks than we do on the flights.
If it's a first class flight, then I would take fly for free.
Okay.
Doing a cost analysis here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Put that cost benefit analysis through, honey.
I think I'm going to go with the flight.
Okay. Yeah.
Some of these you have to qualify, because if the flight is on Spirit,
oh fuck no,
then no. If it's like one of our usual, like Sun Country first class, which we've done a bunch of times, mm-hmm. I'd probably take that. All right, would you rather be stuck in a cabana all day or be stuck in a club all night?
Cabana all day
for sure.
Oh my gosh,
no question.
Because we've considered doing that. Club we haven't really considered doing.
No,
I mean, yeah, we might have on a whim or something, but no. Cabana, yes.
I love these questions. Would you rather eat a sack of White Castle burgers or an American Coney dog that touched Fremont on Saturday night?
Oh.
I'm going with the White Castles, no question.
Yeah, I will too. Well, either one, you don't really know where it's been.
Would you rather hand wash a street entertainer's dirty Elmo costume or be forced to play a tune on a recorder for 15 minutes in a performance circle? I would do the recorder.
I'll do
the
recorder.
Circle.
Yeah.
As much as I don't like the public performance.
I don't want to touch that.
I feel like few people would even pay attention to you doing the recorder in a performance mm-hmm. circle. And the Elmo thing is just nasty beyond belief.
Yeah.
Would you be forced to watch Tournament of Kings every night of the trip or have to pick up 25 pounds of horse shit once after the show?
Oh, ooh. God.
With a shovel, I'm assuming. I'd shovel 20.
I'd do the horse shit.
We're comfortable with cleaning up animal poop.
Yes.
Thanks to our dogs.
Yes. I grew up around horses.
Yeah. I'd see Tournament of Kings once.
Right.
But not every night of a trip.
Night.
That would, no. Would you rather stay at Excalibur, but eat only at Mandarin Oriental, or stay at Mandarin Oriental and eat only at Excalibur?
Ooh.
This is the, that's kind of like the Cosmos at Cosmo Manhattan in New York question. I would This is a tough one.
This is a really tough one.
Oh, there goes the snowplow. Is going by.
I think I'd stay at Excalibur and eat at Mandarin Oriental.
That's what I'm going with, too.
Because even though I'd love to stay at Mandarin Oriental sometime, I
don't really want to eat at Excalibur all the
time. No.
Okay. Would you rather have a time machine that can only visit Vegas before 1969 or only after 2049? You stay the age that you are now.
Before 1969?
Yeah.
I would love to see, even though like times were different then as far as where ladies could go and whatnot. I would love to just see the design.
I'd love to go back to before 1969 and take a look. I'm that way too. I don't care about the future. I don't care. That sounds good. That's why I like to let my car run for 10, 15 hours a day. Okay. Finally, would you rather be serenaded on a gondola at Venetian or watch a Bellagio fountain show set to Reelin' in the Years by Steely Dan?
Serenaded on a gondola, no question.
Yeah, gondola for sure.
Oh my God. Oh. That song, speaking of things that raise my blood pressure.
I know, it's almost as bad as Baker Street.
For you.
Just that excruciating riff.
That guitar solo in Reelin' in the Years
That's what the Baker Street
gives me violent urges.
Sax solo sounds like to me. It's the same thing.
That's funny, because I find that soothing.
Thanks, Kelly. Those questions were magnificent.
They were great.
You are awesome.
Yes.
All right. Thanks to all of our emailers. You can send us Dear Tim and Michelle questions of your own if you're so inclined to 500@gmail.com with Dear Tim and Michelle or something similar in the subject line. All right. With that, we're going to hold calls for next week, and I think we're going to wrap things up here.
All right.
I liked our email segment. That
was
fun.
Yeah, that was really fun.
We have some karma donations to thank folks for. Our friend VegasBound13 with a karma donation for an upcoming three-night stay for his first ever Super Bowl trip.
Ooh.
Thanks for probably there right now since the Super Bowl is tomorrow. Thanks for keeping our lives filled with Vegas-y goodness between trips to the greatest city on earth. Well, I hope you have a wonderful time.
Yes.
And win lots of money. Mike and Sarah from Boston in Vegas this weekend to root for the Patriots. Good luck to you.
Yes, good luck. And
thank you. Like I said, I have no rooting interest in this, so good luck to everybody's team, so I don't care. But I hope that everybody who is, all of our listeners who are there, have a great time. Finally, Andrew, after a 2-year Vegas drought, I'm making my triumphant return to the motherland for 5 nights.
Yay.
Also, the first solo trip and first time staying downtown. Hope you have a wonderful time.
Yes.
Thank you very, very much for your support.
Everyone.
Thank you to all of our supporters, Patreon, PayPal, however, we do appreciate it. All right, I think that's going to do it this week.
Yep.
As always, you can find, I mean, like I said, I have a few links I'm posting in the show notes this week. So if there's something that we talked about and you're interested in it, 500bymidnight.com is the place where you can find those links. Dear Tim and Michelle questions to 500@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, the voicemail line. We'd love to hear your reviews, your Vegas-y thoughts. 702-866-9494. Call early and often. As always, thanks for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We will be back very soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.